بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we had two very good programs in Colombo yesterday, one with teachers and educators, and the other one was with business people, business owners. Today is Jumu'ah, and there are two programs. One is the Jumu'ah khutbah and salah in one of the big masajid here, where the khutbah is, topic of the khutbah is good Muslim equals good behavior. And tonight is at another big masjid, which is, the topic is brand Muslim. I request you for your dua, inshallah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable me to say that which pleases him and which is beneficial for myself as well as for everybody else. This day of Jumu'ah is Yawmul Eid, and one of the things that I think my South African brothers and sisters are responsible for this bid'ah, which is Jumu'ah Mubarak, and this seems to have caught up with everyone in the world except myself, of wishing each other Jumu'ah Mubarak. Khair, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to do that which pleases him. But what is this Mubarak? What are you congratulating each other for? This day is a day of great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us Yawmul Jumu'ah, a day when the gates of paradise of Jannah are open, the gates of Jahannam are shut. Anyone who dies with Iman on the day of Jumu'ah, inshaAllah, will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and granted Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our endings also to be in a state of obedience to Him, and inshaAllah on the day of Jumu'ah. The importance of reading Suratul Kahf, the importance of preparing for and going for Salatul Jumu'ah, the adab of Salatul Jumu'ah, where you go and you pray your two rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid, and you sit and you make dhikr, maybe read Quran or something, and wait for the khutbah to start. And once the khutbah starts, you leave everything and you pay attention to the khutbah. You do not even read Quran in that time. You just listen to the khutbah with great attention, to the extent that you do not even greet somebody. If somebody says Salaam Alaikum, we do not say Wa Alaikum Salaam to him. You don't fidget, you don't look at your phone, you don't do anything, you don't do any unnecessary movements. You behave as if you are in a state of Salah, which is what it is, because if you are, the khutbah compensates for two rakat of salah, and therefore the salat of Jumu'ah, the first salah, is only two rakat. So you do that, you listen carefully to the khutbah, you try to bring in your life the advice that is being given by the khatib, inshallah. And once the salah is over, then you pray the first salah of Jumu'ah. Once the khutbah is over, you pray the first salah of Jumu'ah. And then you pray for rakat of sunnah, inshallah. And of course, there is a difference in the Hanafi madhab, where you pray sunnah also before the first salah of Jumu'ah. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to do what pleases him. And then you go home, or you go back to your office or something, whatever it is. But that is the day of Jumu'ah, a day also of forgiveness, of coming together. There are some families, I know in South Africa quite a lot this happens, in Sri Lanka it happens, one of my very, very good friends, their family all get together for lunch every Jumu'ah. All the brothers and sisters, their families, and whoever is a guest with them, they get together in the house of one of the brothers for a meal after Salatul Jumu'ah. It's a very beautiful custom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to live by these customs and create these customs, sentient systems which bring hearts together and which strengthen the bonds of family and of brotherhood. May Allah bless them. Inshallah, I'm going to also have My wife and I will have lunch with them also after Jummah, inshallah, today. Now, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to us about Jummah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, Muslims, which means men and women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning both. Women, of course, as we know, they have the ijazah and the rukhsa of not going to the congregational prayer, but the ayat refers to both the men and the women. And if they do go for congregational prayer, alhamdulillah, this is good for them. And so therefore masajid, which have arrangements for women also to pray Jummah, alhamdulillah, all power to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do that which pleases him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha nudiya li salati min yawmil jum'ati fas'au ila dhikrillah. The first instruction, O you who believe, when the call is proclaimed, when the adhan for the salat of Jum'ah, on the day of Friday for Jum'ah prayer is made, fas'au ila dhikrillah. Go towards the remembrance of Allah, go towards the khutbah, go towards the salah. And fas'au refers to the way you go, which is with great eagerness, with dedication, with concentration, and you run, meaning, I mean, not that you drive badly, but the point is that you don't sort of loiter around, and you don't linger, you leave. And then Allah said, وَزَرُوا الْبَيْءِ, Allah said, leave your business, leave everything, ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, this is good for you, this is better for you, if only you knew this, that this is so good for you. Now, very important, therefore, for us to remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah is saying, go towards the salah. When the time for salah comes, when the call for salah is given, there is nothing which is more important, to leave everything else, and especially leave your business. And why is Allah saying business? Because that is what holds us. It holds us because we see benefit in business. We don't see benefit in salah. We don't see greater benefit in salah. May Allah forgive us. We have turned salah into a sort of ritual that we must do because it is a musibat that has been thrown on top of our heads. So we do it to discharge it, to finish it and get rid of it and get out of it. Allah is saying, whatever business you are doing, no matter how great that deal seems to be, salah has more value in it. So run for salah. Fas'au ila dhikrillah. Allah is not saying just walk towards the salah. He is saying go run towards the salah. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, race towards the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is the way. So first of all, as soon as you hear the salah, then hear the adhan, then go towards the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go with great eagerness and leave whatever it is that you are doing, because the salah, it has more benefit in it than whatever else that you may be doing. And then Allah said, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And when the Jum'ah Salah and when the prayer is finished, you may disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah and remember Allah a great deal so that you may be successful. Now, here Allah is showing us the other side of it, which is that once the salah is finished, what must you do? Go and seek the bounty of Allah. Two important things to understand in this. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying go and earn the bounty. Allah is not saying go and create the bounty. Allah is saying go and seek the bounty, meaning the bounty is already there. Allah has already given it to us. It is ours. It is our qadr. It is our rizq. Allah is saying go, just go pick it up. It's there, just go and pick it up. And then when you are in that seeking of the bounty, don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. Right? Udhkurullaha kathiran. Do a lot of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would you do that? Because you know that this bounty of Allah that you are getting, this is not your loot. this is what Allah has given you, and this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this gift. These two ayat of Surah Al-Jum'ah, Allah mentioned specifically Jum'ah in this, but these ayat refer, the Mufassirin tell us that these ayat also refer to all the salawat. And if you look at it, these ayat refer to our entire life itself, which is a life which is based on the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a life where when the issue of precedence comes, when the specific dhikr of Allah, which is salah, comes, then we give salah precedence over everything else, because we know that this is the root and this is the key to the bounty and the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who understands this basic principle of Islam will never give up salah, will never give up the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything else. When the time for salah comes, he will do salah. When he becomes eligible for hajj, he will do hajj. He will not do anything else, he will do hajj, because as the first priority. He will not say, no, I will do hajj as soon as I have some time. No. Make time, because you don't know whether you will even live or die. So time for hajj is the first time after you become eligible for it, the first Dhul-Hijjah that comes, that is your time for hajj. So the person who understands this, he does this. He doesn't delay that. Similarly, the time for zakat, he will pay zakat. Ramadan, he'll fast. So the issue is that he gives precedence to the zikr of Allah, to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over anything and everything else. And then when he gets the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him from his grace and mercy, whether it is wealth, whether it is health, whether it is power or influence, entertainment, whatever, then he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously. While engaging in the enjoyment of his life, he does not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, the question of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while engaging in the enjoyment of life doesn't even arise, because when the person is continuously engaged in the dhikr of Allah, and the more enjoyment of life that he has, the more he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can he simultaneously disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when he's getting married, he will get married, or he's getting his children married, he will do that in a way which, with the complete zikr of Allah. He is making zikr, his children who are getting married, they are making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously that marriage will be according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no question of any israf in that marriage. There is no question of any gana parties in that marriage. And there is no question of anything else in that marriage, because he is doing this marriage in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this marriage. Similarly, when he is doing business, there is no question of him borrowing on interest or paying interest or doing or buying and selling with deception or things which are prohibited. He will always do only that which pleases Allah, because he says, Alhamdulillah, this is minallahi ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me. Allah is not constrained. Allah is not majboor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not muhtaj, that he has to give me only in a particular way. Allah is giving me and he will give me. And if I say, Ya Allah, I want it from a halal source, Allah will give me only from a halal. So there is no problem. Allah has no there are no boundaries on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he doesn't have to. So the person who's earning, he doesn't say, and he doesn't fall into the trap of his bankers and his analysts, advisors, who tell him that no, you see, you have to borrow money on interest and it's okay, and 25% of interest is okay, and 35% of interest is okay. He said, no, I will not do that. I will not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will make sure that my earning and my spending is always and always halal, because I want barakah in my life. I don't want the anger of Allah in my life. He will do this. So these ayat of Yawmul Jum'ah are not only restricted to Yawmul Jum'ah, they are ayat which include our entire life, and they talk about our attitude towards life, which is an attitude of obedience, which is an attitude of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, a submission with great joy, so that we when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we meet him jalla jalaluhu in a state where he is pleased with us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you. I ask you, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is a sa'a, there is a time in Jum'ah where a slave asks anything and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you that sa'a today, and I ask you to make dua, and in your duas I ask Allah to accept your duas, and in your dua I request you also to make dua for me and my my family and forgiveness and help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Jazakumullahu khairan wa salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Jumu'ah the best of your life, insha'Allah.